Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Go with me to the book of John, chapter 14. Amen. Book of John, chapter 14, and our text this week, or this month rather, is in verses 12, and today we'll actually extend it all the way to verse 15. And then we'll add John chapter 13. So two opening texts today, John 14, 12 through 15, and then we'll go to John 13, verses 34 and 35. We've started a series called Greater. I believe that's the word for the year. God desires to manifest greater in your life, greater manifestation of his power, greater manifestation of his goodness, a greater manifestation of your purpose. God wants to produce first in you and then allow it to flow through you. But there's certain foundational pillars that we're going to look at to ensure that you have guiding posts throughout the year. So I'm praying that this message kind of serves as a hallmark. This message serves as a reference point, because unless we're intentional about what God has asked us to do, naturally we are going to drift. Naturally, we're going to go back to our old patterns of behaviors. And before we know it, this will be a year like every other year. But I just believe in here that this year is going to be unlike any other year in your life. And I believe that you're going to see greater things because of what God has birthed in you. That truly is my goal, is to see God reveal himself in your life. Verse 12, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. Someone say greater works. It says, if you believe in him, you'll do the works that he's done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Here's the focal point today. If you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. Heavenly Father, I thank you today just for who you are in our lives. You're a good Father. You've given us your Spirit, who has graced us to transform our lives into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us today to align ourselves strategically with you and how you'd have us to conduct our lives to get your results for our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, obey my commandments. It's interesting that it's after he puts before us a promise that's where he says, if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. But before we get into a discourse about Holy Spirit, which I can't wait to have the conversation of Holy Spirit with you all in the coming weeks, he institutes this concept, this idea of a new way of living, a way that is separate from the natural course of life that we are used to. He says, if you love me, or in essence, if you want to prove your love to me, obey my commandments. Now, initially on the onset, that looks like if you love me, then you're going to obey the Ten Commandments. And although that is not incorrect, it is incomplete. You see, the Ten Commandments, broken up five and five, If you all remember in other places in Matthew 22 in the gospel where, you know, someone said, Lord, what is the great commandment? He says, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Who's heard that before? Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. If you're taking notes, Christ in Matthew 22 is quoting the original passage of Deuteronomy 6, verses 3 and 4. Really, 6, 3 through 6. And just as a parenthetical insertion here, today we don't have my trusted screen up here, but we do have inside of the Bible app all my notes, just in case you wanted to take the notes of what I'm talking about. So search inside the Bible app, the Outlet community, all my notes will be right there. But Christ is quoting Deuteronomy 6. So if he's referring to the Ten Commandments, he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. But prior in John chapter 13, Jesus actually gives a brand new commandment. Let's back up to John 13 and look at verse 34. So for centuries they have heard, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you were to break down the Ten Commandments, the first five commandments are the reference to the first part of the great commandment, loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So the first five of the Ten Commandments reference that. The other part, love your neighbor as you love yourself, are commandments 6 through 10. But in John 13, in verse 34, he says, so now I am giving you a, everybody say new commandment. Everybody say new commandment. So this one is similar to the law of gravity versus the law of lift. So Christ now is introducing a higher level to live other than the standard of love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And then he's wanting to introduce a new standard of living above love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, if we only sit in loving your neighbor as you love yourself, how many of you know some people don't know how to love themselves? And so if I don't know how to love me, then I then am able to uphold that commandment to the best of my ability. But Jesus wants to introduce an even greater standard. You know, in leadership, as leaders, we serve as models, but leaders should never serve as the standard. Let me say that again. Leaders serve as models, meaning we are to pattern ourselves after Scripture, but we are never to be the standard in which you set your aspirations, hopes, and goals toward. I want that to say la, because often it's easier for me to pattern my life based off of someone else I can see than it is to follow the leading of Holy Spirit and what he's asking me to do. Because Holy Spirit has a way of customizing your life to a place where you're able to have maximum growth. But if you set your life according to another person, then you're only going to grow to their standard, which isn't where God would have you to be. So Christ institutes now this new commandment. And I want you to pay attention to this because this is the entire focal point of today's message. And in just a moment, you'll see why I've got to talk about this new commandment before we continue going deeper in prayer and fasting. He says, here's the new commandment. Love each other, and here's the new standard. Just as what? Just as I have loved you. John 13, 34. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. This new standard has nothing to do with what you think love should be. This new standard has everything to do with who Christ has been to you. And this right here is the foundational pillar of your prayer life. I believe most people would spend hours praying if they believed it worked. But if I have questions about that, because the basis of my prayer is, Lord, have I been good enough? Now, I'm going to shock you right here. Fasting and prayer doesn't get God to love you anymore. Fasting and praying doesn't get God to bless you anymore. Not fasting and praying doesn't get God to bless you any less. So if I'm doing a lot of the Christian patterns and behaviors and structures and disciplines, all because I need to go ahead and do these so God can, then I'm not necessarily loving him as much as I am manipulating him. So our Christian disciplines, he now is taking from a standard where you can, it's easy to do step one, step two, step three. We would love a book if it had the 7 proven tips to having answered prayer 100% of the time. That would be the book we go to. Because I no longer need to be led, but I can mentally ascribe to something and work God like a formula. So the basis of this new commandment, which is sandwiched in between, because that's a sweet deal. If you ask anything in his name, he'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandment. What's my commandment? Love one another the way I have loved you. Here's the question. How does God love me? Here's a better question. Does God love me? For real. Because I'm looking at my life right now. And if this is the result of a loving God, then I'm not sure. I'm not sure. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go over there, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. We need to focus on God's love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. Now here's something that's very interesting. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and the Corinthian church is extremely gifted, extremely talented. They were established by the best. They were trained by the best. Gifts galore. In fact, I was supposed to teach on today greater power. But as I was studying greater power, I came across a scripture in Matthew that says, you can operate in greater power, but I still have the opportunity for some to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. So often we can operate off a gift because that's without repentance. And we don't allow Holy Spirit to transform character, which is the work of faith. So we see a church that has a host of giftings. And you'll notice that when you have a place or a group of people who have education, who have accomplishments, who have resources. Haven't you noticed we depend on our resources when we're trying to do new things? And it's funny how when all the resources were, I always say, and then I came to the end of myself, and that's when it seemed like the Lord showed up. He wanted you to get to the end of yourself before you used all those resources. Lord told me something a long time ago, I never forgot it. He said, Vince, in life, I'll pay for anything in my will. Anything in my will, I'll pay for it. Anything you want to pay for, you can pay for. Selah. So now it drove me into finding out what exactly is in his will. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the entire chapter, we see the operations of the power gifts of Holy Spirit. We see in operation supernatural miracles in operation. We see people who are getting in the right place at the right time. We see a community that is engaged. But before he continues in his discourse in 1 Corinthians 14, he stops in 1 Corinthians 12 and 31 to say this. He says, but now let me show you a way of life that's the best of all. I want to show you how to live better than you've ever lived before. Now, if I said that to you all today, how many of you all would be in agreement? Like, yes, please show me how to live my hashtag best life. That is, in essence, the opportunity that Paul is presenting this intellectual, this gifted church. I am extremely blessed to have a very intellectual and a very gifted church. In fact, looking around in here, I have people who do major worldwide things. There is no shortage of intelligence and gifting and calling and anointing in this church. No shortage. And thank God for it. Amen. But if we rely on our gifting and our accomplishments without taking heed to the most important facet of who we are, we can become prideful. We can become arrogant. We can become, watch this, entitled. And an entitlement goes from a first spiritual perspective. Let me talk about spiritual entitlement. God, I pray. God, I serve you. God, I've been there for you. And you allow this to happen? Entitled. Because we believe that we know the entire perspective. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. So he says, I want to show you a better way. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Studies have shown, and James and Kim, y'all can attest to this if I'm telling the truth, but studies have shown that the majority of people who are actually working out do not typically miss the chest and back workout. It's almost like a common understood rule that on Mondays, it's chest and back. Tuesdays is cardio. Wednesdays is core. Thursdays is cardio. Friday, maybe leg day. Maybe leg day. But something comes up and we skip Friday and, you know, take our cheat day on Saturday, and Sunday we're in here going, okay, on Monday, it's chest and back. So we end up working the areas that we believe people see the most. It's ironic that when we talk about love, we call it a love walk. And the next point I want to make to this church is don't skip leg day, which is an opportunity to develop your love walk. So I want to show you how people have been skipping spiritual leg day and have been doing chest and back spiritually. Galatians 5. Now let's put a finger in Galatians. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to put a finger right there. Don't you just love a physical Bible? I get to just flip around. I tell you what, I ain't got no notes today. I'm just going to be led. Let's talk about spiritual chest and back day. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but I didn't work on my love walk, I'm just doing a chest and back exercise, I would be only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Watch this. If I had the gift of prophecy, gift and callings of God are without repentance. Romans 11:39. Gifts and callings are without repentance. You don't have to work to have a gift. A gift, you're going to do what you're gifted to do no matter what. And unfortunately, we've created a society, especially in church, that has highlighted gifting and minimized character. So that's why you can see people who stand in positions similar to mine, and, you know, they have a word, they're anointed. I mean, they can preach, they can teach, they're charismatic, charismata. It's where we get the word charis, which is grace, which is gift. Charisma is a gift. But then we see the headlines that come after the gift. And we wonder, how were they delivering such word and lifestyle didn't match any of that? Gift came from God. Character is your response to your appreciation of that gift. So if I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans, possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love, if I didn't work on my spiritual legs, I would be nothing. It's interesting that all of these activities don't get us any credit toward our overall development unless they're done from a place of love. And so today I want us to think about ways, not that we could love harder, because we don't have a problem loving hard. I want us to think about ways in which we can love better. Loving hard is all about all that I'm doing for you, all that I sacrifice for you, after all that I've been through. That's loving hard. And often that's what we lead with. Loving hard is what we do for God. Loving better is allowing the love of God to transform the secret places in us. So in our lives, if our focus, if our bragging is on what we do, we miss the point of who God is having us to become. Let's keep reading. If I gave everything that I had to the poor, and I took a selfie when I was doing it, and I sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I have gained nothing. Now, all of those behaviors are outstanding behaviors, but they at the same time have to be paired up with the rest of the chapter. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. You have a finger there. Let's flip back to Galatians chapter 5. Keep a finger in 1 Corinthians 13. I want to challenge our church. Don't brag about what you're doing until you show me who you're loving. Be mindful of bragging about, well, you know, I. Like take account in your conversations how many times you say, you know, I. And on the Lord's Day, I. Like, take account. Because what it's doing is it's revealing your questions about, does God love me at face value? That I don't have to prove or justify myself in any conversation. Being receptors of God's love will transform you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Why is this? Why does God want us to love better, not necessarily harder? Because for you have all been called to live in, everybody say, freedom. Everyone in here was called to live in freedom. The proof of choice is freedom. I've used this analogy before, but I'm going to use it again for those who may have not heard it. In my marriage, my wife and I have no thou shalt not, thou, you can't do this. You can. We have no rules in our marriage, none. In fact, either one of us can do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. It's just an easier way for us to live. No rules, no problem, just right. Like, no rules. Now, for some of you in here, it's like, what kind of open mess are we about to talk about now? We're called to live in freedom. The proof of love is choice. Proof of love is choice. If you love me, he didn't say you should have to keep my commandments. No, the proof of your love is in how you keep the new commandment. Because I can trick you all day long by quoting scripture. But let me tell you where it gets real. When you love that person you don't like. Where when someone has earned a cussing out. I mean a superior one. And you choose a different route. I know, I felt that. I felt that in the Holy Ghost. Come on now. We give ourselves too many passes on spiritual leg day. Because when I'm focused on the new commandment, there's only one. Develop yourself to loving others the way in which God loves you. This is the proof of your, you know, people like to talk about, I'm a spiritual giant. Well, then how are you loving your enemies? How are you loving people that don't vote like you? Yeah, I said it. So God is calling us in this season. Last week we talked about greater influence. This week, God is calling us to have greater unity. Greater unity. Come on, if we fall out, can't talk to each other because we had a disagreement, there was no relationship. If I had to tiptoe, there's no relationship. But if I want to grow, fellas, you all could probably identify with this. A great quarterback, and some ladies like football too, so if you love football, you'll notice. A great quarterback is able to stay in the pocket long enough to do what? Take a hit. The great quarterbacks know how to stay in the pocket long enough. Take a hit. Now, Detroit quarterbacks don't know that. We ain't never had a line. But other quarterbacks throughout the league understand who have a line that sometimes you have to stay in long enough because what God wants to deliver through you, if you don't bail, is worth the hit in the first place. But in our overly connected society, we become politically correct, but don't know how to speak the truth in love, nor do we know how to hear the truth in love. So you create an environment where once you say something I don't like, once you do something I don't agree with, nope. How dare you talk to me like that? Who do you think you are? You know what? And watch this. We don't even say anything. We just out. You know what? They don't even deserve my time. But if we don't develop in this love right here, this affects your prayer life. Galatians 5 says, faith works by love. So if I'm spending a season of prayer and fasting, which is fueled by faith, that means I have to understand how much I am loved by God. Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Amen. I got to put Bible on this because, come on, y'all. We justify our inability to mature in the love of God. You know, everybody ain't going to be for you. So some folk, you just got to cut off. One thing that elicits, and I study church, y'all. I study it. In fact, it's part of my side job is doing church consulting. Do you want to know what makes church people shout the most? Talking about who they going to cut off on their way to elevating. Come on now, you know you be reposting them little quotes and stuff. You can't take everybody. Your circle gonna have to be smaller in order for you to go higher. That's right. Cut them off. And I mean, we put a nice tone to the voice. I mean, it's like, see, that word was for me. You know, they were talking. And the unfortunate side is we're all a part of the same body. So who are you cutting and where are they going? Because y'all stuck in the body. And then how do you think people actually have genuine conversions to Christianity? By relationship. But if we cut off every sinner, who's going to minister Christ to them? So we end up creating a church bubble. Where my life group is only for people who speak life just like me. My church on-ramp is only for people who walk and think and act just like me. So before I look around, I'm going to have a world that looks just like me, and we're going to have shouting parties for recycling the same people year after year after year after year after year. But love, the way God loved us, 1 Corinthians 13, or no, 1 John 4, I want to establish something. Y'all getting something out of this old school Bible study? Amen. Put the iPad up, got the old Bible back out. Here we go. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not really know God, because God is what? God is love. You know, we're in a society, in a culture now where spiritualism vibes, moods are popular. So I just want to have a spiritual experience. I just want to be at one with myself. I want to be centered. Here's the litmus test, because everybody's like, but what about these gemstones? What about that gemstones? What about burning sage and scents and spices and aromas? Like, listen, your house can smell great and your attitude stank and it does not get any credit. So burn all what you want to burn, that's legal. Different states have different rules. But at the end of the day, it's love, because God is love. He is the only one to determine the definition of what love is. It goes on to say in verse 10, here's how he demonstrated his love. So love is not a noun, it's a verb. It's action. Faith is a verb. You all had faith in the seats that you're sitting in right now. And guess what they did? They held you, but you did something to demonstrate your faith. So now here's the transforming power, and this is the focal point of your time in prayer. Help me be better. Help me to be slower with my temper. Help me to, even if a word comes out before I even know the word came out, help me to reel it back. And if you really want to change how you act, publicly apologize when you catch yourself acting out of character. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Now let's look at God and pray and then move on today. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Many times people are looking during seasons of prayer and fasting for what God's going to do externally. The opportunity he's going to bring into my life. The new job. The new opportunity. Those things fade. In fact, Facebook has a way of reminding you about the job you prayed for. And we're excited for when you got. And you got to look at that reminder every year. The one you ain't no longer there at. Y'all remember when y'all first got y'all job? Ooh, the Lord is moving, let me tell y'all. And then you think of something you did. So, you know, I gave like an extra $5 in the offering, and then I like pray, and I really think it was woo woo, because it was like karma, right? Because so I put good vibes out, I got good vibes in. And now it's, Lord, get me out this job. I don't want no 9-to-5. I want an entrepreneur. I want to be on the come up. And you realize being an entrepreneur means 12 a.m. to the next day, 12 a.m. You realize that it's going to be years of sowing into a field that doesn't produce immediate returns. But the only thing that's going to keep us going is knowing how much God loves us, no matter what job or what opportunity we have. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. So how does God love us, since he's love? Love is patient. Means good attitude while waiting. And all the married men said amen. And kind. Love is not jealous. So when you're constantly comparing yourself to someone else's timeline, someone else's feed, you're stirring up not love, but jealousy. It's not boastful. Only way we can boast is because of what God has done in our lives. It's not proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. Watch this. Love, who is God, is not irritable. Selah, let that sit in. Irritable, annoyed, my last nerve. John 13, you know, stay in 1 Corinthians 13, but I want you to think about this. John 13, verse 35 says, my commandment is love the way I loved you. So we now have some standards to grow toward. I would like to get to a place in my marriage where I don't yell when I'm angry. Y'all like, okay. Because we all have room to grow. It said, oh, Lord, love doesn't keep a record of being wronged. Now, I first want you to think about this. This is God. How many of us have ever made a mistake that we told God we weren't going to do again? Keep your hand up if you've made that mistake twice. Over the course of your life, maybe 100 times. Oh, y'all lying. Come on. Oh, you ain't made 100 mistakes, 100 sins over the course of your 30 plus year old life. And in our mind, we think God is keeping the score. That's powerful. It's powerful. Let's keep talking about God's love here, which is the foundation to our prayers. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Verse 7, love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in an unknown language and special knowledge will become useless, meaning that word will come, that word will go during times of tongues and interpretations. But it's your love that lasts forever. I find it ironic that at the different funerals that I've had the opportunity to be at and attend, very seldom do I hear what somebody has done. More often do I hear what type of person that they were. That's what people are going to remember you by. You know, I had amazing youth pastors growing up, and this is for anybody who works with young people. I had amazing youth pastors growing up. I might remember one of their sermons out of 6 years. Might. The youth pastors I remember are the ones who were there and made an impact. So people aren't necessarily listening for your sermon as much as they're looking for your lifestyle. It says love will last how long, you all? Forever. Verse 11, and this is where we'll end today. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. And he's talking about love here. But when I grew up, I had to put away childish things. Talking to a guy who was married, some of you heard me say this in our times in premarital. He was married for 60, maybe 70 years, and I wanted to know, like, how? How'd you do that? He said, here's the key. Both of y'all can't act a fool at the same time. Both of y'all can't be childish. One of the greatest lessons my wife has ever taught me, because in life there's going to be conflict. And there's life you're not going to agree with everyone. One thing, because there was one time I felt like I was done wrong, y'all. Y'all been there where it's like, I know, I could read it. I was done wrong. And I felt like I was justified to relish in that. And my wife, in a loving way, which she does, if you all get a chance to really know Ash, she's black and white. right down the middle. She said, yeah, Bae, I understand all that, but what was your role in it? Often we tell the New Testament version of what happened. Meaning we don't talk about all the sins we committed, but we talk about what was done. And the greatest thing that you can do, the point of maturity, is own your stuff. Own it. Own it. Be big enough to be the first one to apologize. Even if you don't feel as if you did nothing wrong. Because the longer you hold on to it, the longer it contaminates your heart. This week, my wife and I were in meetings, and a lady from Rwanda, make sure I'm telling the story right. She was from Rwanda, and she was in the meeting. She was part of the Tutsi tribe, which was a part of a genocide that took place in their village. When the genocide took place, she was a victim by a gentleman who not only cut off her hand, but sawed her daughter, her young baby girl, in two right before. There was an organization that came in to do race reconciliation. Now, mind you, these were two dark-complected African tribes going at each other, which means our issues of division, they start first in our own race. If we expect unity outside of these doors, unity has to first start in our homes, has to first start in our churches. So another organization brought the two tribes together. And the gentleman who was responsible for cutting off her hand, I had the video and everything I was going to show you all. I know, right? Cut off her hand. Not cutting off the hand, but just her talking. Cutting off her hand. Cutting her baby in half. The gentleman walked up to her after hearing the word of God on God's love being preached and asked her, will you forgive me? She was so angry at herself because it took her so long to even get to the point where she could consider forgiving him. You want to know how long it took her to get to that point? 1 week. When I heard that, I thought about my American privilege. Oh, they persecuting me. They talking bad about me, but you have all your limbs. They said this about me. They said that about me. But they didn't murder your daughter. And this woman who had a daughter murdered and a visible sign of an injustice done to her said, I was so mad at myself because I read God's word concerning love and forgiveness and the love of God. And it took me a week to forgive him. But forgive him, I did. That's not the end of the story. I probably would have gave myself an A+ for not taking the machete and stabbing him. Like, that would have been a step up. But for her, she not only went and forgave the man who cut her arm off, but when he went to jail for the war crimes he committed, she ended up raising his children so they could be in a good home and hear the word of God and have a good education and not be down the same path that their father was. Come on, y'all. So they asked her, they said, so what can you tell us about the power of forgiveness? She says, I'll be honest with you. Before I forgave, or if I did not forgive, I would not be here today. Because when I did not forgive him, I was in a dark place. in a dark hole. There was no hope. I had no reason to live. I had no reason to move forward. But if you pastors would just read your Bible and see what God says concerning forgiveness, then you will understand that when God's love transforms your heart, that is the only light and hope that you need. She admonished us. Before you do anything, make sure you walk in the love of God and live in a place of forgiveness. And I've come to the Outlet community today to declare over our church that we're going to be a place of love the way God has loved us, a place of unity. Doesn't mean we don't have differences, but it means we're grown enough to sit at the table and work them out. Sometimes in the word of Beyonce, there is a gift in goodbye, but it doesn't mean you hold on to unforgiveness. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and pray just for a moment.